Monday, February the 20th, 2006. Tips from the Top Floor Show number 99.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
And it's a new week. Today's your last chance to send me a greeting for show number 100. A quick word about the post-processing assignment, and I'll bring you part two of the interview with Tim.
Hi, I'm Ryan Keefe, and you're listening to Digital Photography Tips from the Top Floor. Now, you like a cool, informative podcast. I'm also guessing that you like digital photography. I'm going to suggest another hobby for you, astronomy. It's just like photography, only instead of using a camera, you use a telescope. Both photography and astronomy produce beautiful images. If you're interested in looking at the night sky, knowing what planets and stars and meteor showers look like and how to spot them, then the What's Up in Astronomy podcast is right for you. What's Up in Astronomy is available in iTunes, or you could visit the website at www.angelfire.com/planet/whatsupinastronomy. You'll be glad you did, but for now, let's get back to Tips from the Top Floor. Happy shooting!
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Hello and welcome. This is Tips from the Top Floor, show number 99. Just one more show to go until the magic 100, and I can't wait to bring that to you. I'm still planning on what to do there, actually, but yeah, we'll see. And sorry if you tuned into today's show for the Photoshop Corner. I had to shuffle things around a bit in order to accommodate part two of the interview with Tim. It was just way too much fun in order to cut things out, so I decided to leave it all in and make it two parts again. I'll bring you the next Photoshop Corner on Monday in a week from now. The topic on this one will be the Photoshop CS2 version queue. And the post-processing assignment is coming along really nicely. Many of you have already submitted. Actually, the return is much faster than with any of the other assignments so far. Could it be that my listeners are just too lazy to go outside and take new pictures and instead prefer sitting at their computers doing post-processing? The listener survey for PodTrack is still open. If you haven't filled it out yet, you'd do me a massive favor if you could take the 5 minutes. It's absolutely anonymous and it'll help me get the demographic information that I need in order to, well, yeah, attract good sponsors. And in the long run, that's what will enable me to keep doing Tips from the Top Floor and take it to another 100 shows. The link to the survey is on tipsfromthetopfloor.com. Thank you so much. And today is the last chance to send me a greeting for the 100th show, and a big thanks to all who already sent theirs. Great stuff, really looking forward to putting that show together. I will do the recording for show 100 tomorrow afternoon, that's Tuesday, February the 21st, and afternoon at Central European Time, of course. And the greetings that I received up to then will have a good chance to make it into show 100. You can record an MP3 and send it to info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. You can leave a voicemail at 206-202-DSLR, that's 206-202-3757, and if you live outside the United States, just prefix that with your international dialing code and a 1 for the US. All right, and now let's get right into part two of the interview with Tim.
I can assume that even if I send it in through an online service, that all those batches will be at least looked at by a person, right?
Yeah, well, they should be, really. If it's a sort of decent lab, then yeah, they'll have had, you know, some degree of human contact. You shouldn't ever get back sort of substandard prints, unless you send them substandard pictures. It's yeah, there is sort of a lot of quality control that goes on behind the scenes. It's really sort of quite amazing to see the sort of levels of care that are actually taken in printing, even on a sort of commercial level, a non-professional printing level. Okay. It's there's a lot that goes into it. The lab staff work quite hard.
which is good to know. I mean it's a bit like sending this thing off into some sort of a black box and getting something back, and you really don't know what happens to your pictures. And I think especially if you are in the really into it and into post-processing, and you have a digital SLR and you want this the highest possible quality, it's a reassuring thing to know that those things are actually handled by actual people.
Yeah, so you just have to hope that they sort of shared the same idea as you when they're checking that your prints have the right white balance.
Right.
I guess to some extent, as far as sort of the whole digital photography thing goes, you've got so much control right up until the moment that it's printing. You've got more than you ever have before. But the only real solution to get prints exactly how you want them is to do it yourself. I mean, and there's so many home printers about these days that, I mean, it is possible.
It is possible, you know. But usually it's still more expensive to do it at home.
Oh, absolutely. It's, like you say, I'm spoiled these days. I don't print anything at home, but I don't really have an excuse for not doing my prints at work.
Okay, over to the forum. You were one of the people on the forum that suggested a couple of projects to work on, and I thought that was pretty interesting. Let's talk about that for a minute. One thing that comes to mind is the Alphabet project that you kicked off.
Yeah, that was it was a really good fun sort of project. I don't know if I actually ever posted my results. I should maybe have a look and see if I did or not.
Actually, I don't know.
Yeah.
So what was that about?
It was basically a project to take a picture that represented every single letter of the alphabet. So my E, for example, was an Art Nouveau curve from an ironwork railing. I think your alphabet was branches, wasn't it?
Mine was cheating. Mine was cheating. I was doing that on vacation. Rebecca, my girlfriend, she pointed me to that forest ground that had loads of roots of trees on it, and it was fairly easy to get all those letters together, and you just had to walk around. I had a piece of paper with me with the alphabet on, and then I just crossed them off. It's like, oh, there's an A, let's take that picture. Oh, there's an F, okay. So that was I did the easy way. I didn't have a lot of time when I did it, but I had promised to participate.
It was a lot bigger project than I originally intended, in actual fact, but it did give me a chance to sort of go and take what would normally be quite mundane pictures and have a reason to do them. And I guess unless you're studying photography, I guess it's quite easy for it to become stale if you're just going out day after day and you don't really have a purpose in it. So I do quite like having sort of projects to sort of keep me going or to get stuck into and get really sort of, I guess you can learn a lot from them, and you can sort of improve your photography quite a bit.
And that's what I'm trying to do with the assignments on the show. Just give people give people something to work on and kind of nudge them into a direction. And I just want to reiterate, if anyone listens to this who has been participating in any of the assignments, please submit fresh work. Don't pull anything out of your drawer.
Yeah, but, it's cheating unless it's new.
Right, go outside or just create that picture with the assignment in mind. That will really further your creativity or photographic eye. Just do it and go out with a purpose. So that was pretty cool. What other kinds of projects did you have in mind that we might start in the near future?
I'd love to do sort of series on colors. I've been getting quite into my sort of graphic communication recently, and the sort of relationship between colors on the color wheel, and there's so much sort of scope for just going out and shooting a day in one color. I've always meant to do it, I've just never really got around to it. I've always wanted just a giant sort of wall of red prints with a white box. There's an artist called Mark Rothko. He's quite famous for doing these sort of very sort of simple, very very in your face large paintings of sort of geometric squares. Normally just two colors, and they're really imposing. I really like them. So I'd quite like to do a project, sort of, I guess, a homage to that to some extent. I just love a really colourful set of prints, I guess, all the same colour. So that's an assignment that I'd really like to do, hopefully in the near future. Maybe the next grey day that I've got off, when the light's not so great, I've got an excuse to, you know, still get out and take some pictures, you know, that don't require, you know, the world's greatest lighting.
Right, so. And I guess you could even make that a project on the forum for other members to participate in.
Yeah, why not? If I'll maybe start a thread on the forum, and we'll have this maybe a red project or a green project or a blue one.
Let me know when you have that thread out, and I'll make it sticky so that it'll stay on top of the list.
Yeah, or maybe even do a group effort. We'll see how many we can actually get.
That one might be pretty interesting. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to see. I think that I do think that sort of the projects are really the way to learn. It's your show gives a lot of sort of structure to go out and learn something new, and I guess the assignments do as well. What I really like about the projects is doing a series of something, so that I don't have one image at the end. I really like to have a set. Sort of, I like the idea of having sort of the sum of parts to make a whole. So I do like my sort of projects to be quite broad and big. So yeah, we'll maybe have to start one of these colour ones, I think, especially with the weather like it is just now. I don't know what it's like in Germany, but it's pretty disgusting here.
It is grey and dull here as well. And speaking of assignments, we are recording this interview on Wednesday, February the 15th, which coincides with the Wednesday show that I just put out. There's a new assignment in there, but this time it's a different one. This time it is about post-processing. I'll have a picture out there that people can download and post-process. So we'll end up with a whole gallery of the same picture post-processed by different people in different ways.
I think I might have to join in on that one.
I thought you might like that. Yes.
Yeah, it does. It sounds good.
Even though I think I published the show, but I didn't publish the image yet, so people will already go there and search for the image, not find it. So I should probably do that right after recording this interview.
Yeah.
So back to your job. Are there any really funny special things that happened to you while you were selling things?
I think telephone calls are really the greatest source of humorous things that happen in my work. As we do get the occasional telephone call, you know, you pick up the phone and they answer, "Hi there, Tim, how can I help you? Blah, 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 blah." And the person at the end, they don't say anything. You just say, "Canon or Nikon, which one's best?"
we had these types of questions on the forum.
Yeah, I mean, I'd seen it on the internet before, but I'd never thought that I'd get asked it in real life. I never thought that anyone would actually sort of telephone a photographic store and say, you know, Canon or Nikon, which one's best? It's just so difficult to explain to these people as well, that you can't possibly. I don't know. There's not really a best or.
I mean,
it
really depends. It really depends on so many different factors and things, and what you want to do in terms of photography. And that's a question. I've seen those questions on many forums in many places, and even on the Tips from the Top Floor forum. And I never have a good answer to this.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult not to laugh when someone calls you up and they're quite so blunt about it as well. But I guess it'd be quite rude to sort of laugh. I'm trying to think. We do get, I guess, a lot of the sort of the cliche things that you'd expect. People do bring their cameras in and they've put the battery in the wrong way round, or, you know, they wonder why their pictures have all come back dark from last night when they were out and they haven't used their flash gun. We get so many people that have never read a manual or done anything to do with photography, or people sometimes complain that our lab standards are maybe, you know, not correct because all their pictures show people moving in them, you know, because the shutter speeds are all wrong. So yeah, I guess a lot of the sort of humorous side of it comes from people that maybe they're not sort of willing to learn, I guess.
And I think that's one of the things that we can tell the listeners here: please read the manual of your camera. I mean that's, it's just, it's and most camera manuals do, in addition to explaining you the dials of your camera and what they do, they will also give you some insight into photography in general.
Recently as well, I mean, a lot of the camera manuals have come in pocket-sized formats through, you know, the actual packaging. If you buy pretty much any camera these days, you'll get a manual that can fit in your bag, so you don't really have that much excuse.
And I do have my 20D's manual in the bag. I hardly ever use it, but then on the other hand, I guess it's really easy to start off with those cameras without a manual because they have menus and things like that. So it's a bit of a difficult one.
Yeah, well, you get that quick reference card with a lot of gear now as well, especially the Canon stuff. It's all got these sort of cards that you can even fit in your wallet.
Oh, really? I don't have any of those.
No? Yeah. I'll maybe have to copy them. And,
yeah, can you send me one?
Make a set. Yeah, it's, you didn't get one then.
I don't think so. I have the normal manual. But then on the other hand, I don't think I would need a quick reference card. I know that camera in and out. I know that in and out is more ballast than anything else.
Yeah, it's my flash manual comes out a fair bit.
Oh, okay. That's a bit of a different story, I guess. So how many people? I think one of the things, if people come from the digital point and shoot world where everything is done for them by the camera and everything's on full automatic, and they switch to a digital SLR and they expect the same sort of ease of use, and they expect the digital SLR to act like a point and shoot camera, how many questions from customers arise from that fact?
Every now and again, we do get customers that maybe have taken a leap too far. As a general rule, they just come back to the shop and they get a lot of sort of free advice from us, or they get, you know, asked to go and subscribe to your show.
I'll remember to send you those cards. Definitely will.
It does happen definitely that people, they do expect to just be able to go out and be the next Ansel Adams or Bresson or, you know, any of these sort of big name photographers that have been and gone or are still current today. They think that with the right equipment they'll be fine. That's the sort of real frustrating point with sort of working in a camera store, just because you really do want to help these people, but it's just sometimes you do wonder that they've just taken on a bit too much. I think there's something to be said for maybe starting small and working your way up rather than jumping straight in and buying, you know, a camera that does all the singing and all the dancing that you could possibly ever need, because you can get a bit daunted, I guess. You can't get the sort of straight out the camera brilliant photographs from a digital SLR. I think they do take a bit more work.
Well, it takes the eye, it takes to know the camera, and I think it takes more in terms of post processing than many people might imagine.
Yeah, I guess you're not really getting the most out of it unless you're doing work afterwards. I always try and explain to people, especially the sort of older people that are quite into their photography but have never had a digital camera, that it's quite like sort of maybe printing your own pictures from black and white, that you need to learn to sort of, if you're going to do RAW, you need to learn just like how you learn how to process a film and push and pull it. You need to learn how to expose your photograph using a histogram in a RAW converter, and you need to maybe learn how to recreate, you know, before you'd learn what Velvia looks like, and you'd go and you'd get your saturated greens and blues, and now you need to learn how to do the same in post-processing. So I do try and sort of liken it to sort of film photography in terms that, you know, you're going to be learning to sort of reprint your photographs from scratch, I guess. That it's a start to finish thing.
Right.
So,
well, I know, yeah. And I think that's actually pretty good advice to bring this interview to an end. Tim, thank you very much for being on the show.
No worries, it was a pleasure.
It was a real pleasure to have you. Lots of good insight, and too bad you can't tell us what company you work for.
I think a lot of people know on the forums from the UK at least, anyway.
Okay. Tim, thank you very much. And
no worries.
Yeah, take care.
And that was it for today's Tips from the Top Floor. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to fill out the listener survey. The link is on tipsfromthetopfloor.com. You won't talk about this, you won't. Also, keep the images coming for the post-processing assignment. Deadline is February 26th, and I'm looking forward to all your greetings that I'll receive until tomorrow afternoon my time. My name's Chris Marquardt, podcasting from the top floor in Tübingen, southern Germany. Have a great week. I remember that I told you and happy shooting. Sunshine after rain, and I told you that you laughter after pain. Makes it easy.